Greetings to the Lord's Candlestick, the Lehigh Valley Baptist Church, from the pillar and ground of the truth, a Baptist church in the southern part of India. The Apostle Paul wrote to his spiritual son Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The local New Testament church is a body of blood-bought, immersed believers. The local New Testament church is the depository of the truth, the dispenser of the truth, and the defender of the truth. On the onset, I must share with you how much I look forward to deputation trips reporting to our supporting churches, humbled to minister and privileged to be ministered by God's people, making new contacts and presenting the Lord's work in India that He established in the year 2005 with one local New Testament church. As I spend time with God's people, I am encouraged, I am edified and energized to do more exploits for Him. Saturated by worship, that I see the emphasis of worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But not satiated by what I receive. The friendship and fellowship of dear friends such as the Meadowcrofts, Brother David Manohar and his family, and the time that I've had with Brother Hammett and his family since yesterday has truly blessed my heart immensely. Your faithfulness to the Lord and His Word is a testimony and testament to God's goodness and faithfulness upon this candlestick, the local New Testament church. As I see your ministry, it stands as a monument of God's faithfulness to His trophies of grace, which is each one of you. And the Lord continues to work in the United States of America and also in the second largest nation upon the face of this earth, which is India, with a population of 1.2 billion people. 85% Hinduism, 14% Islamism, and less than 2% of the population make up the Christian community or the Christian group of people. But this is said in a very generalized sense, which includes Catholicism and all the other denominations that infest this world. Religion without a relationship with the Son of God, less than 2%, out of which you may add as many zeros as you would like, 0.1% are truly born again, baptized believers. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are so few. Your emphasis on worship, which I experienced and I am a witness to this morning, beginning in the Sunday school hour and also in the morning service, took me back a few weeks just before I left India. I preached a message on Mary, the expense of her worship, the expression of her worship, and the enlargement of her worship. As you study the Gospels, you will notice that Mary takes the center stage in the New Testament. Three times she appears, and all three times she is humbled and sitting at the feet of her Savior. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, she is sitting at his feet learning the word of God. In John chapter 10, verses 28 and following, she is sitting leaning, exploring the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, you see Mary sitting, loving the Lord and worshiping Christ Jesus with all of her heart. Amen. And her soul and her mind. What a beautiful and awesome testimony that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who know the one true risen living God in person and who serve the one true risen living God in person to worship Him in spirit and in truth. ಸತ್ಯ ದೇವರಾಗಿರುವಂತಹ ಯೇಸು ಕ್ರಿಸ್ತನ ಮಧುರವಾದಂತಹ ಹೆಸರಿನಲ್ಲಿ ನಿಮ್ಮನ್ನು ಸ್ವಾಗತಿಸುವಂತವನು ಆಗಿದ್ದೇನೆ. ನೋ, ಐ ಆಮ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಟಾಂಗ್ಸ್. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಮೈ ಮದರ್ ಟಾಂಗ್. ದ ಬೈಬಲ್ ಸೇಸ್ ಇನ್ ಜಾನ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 3 ಅಂಡ್ ವರ್ಸ್ 16, ಫಾರ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಸೋ ಲವ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಗೇವ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಬಿಗಾಟನ್ ಸನ್ ದಟ್ ಹೂ ಸೋ ಎವರ್ ಬಿಲೀವತ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಶುಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಪೆರಿಶ್ ಬಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಎವರ್ ಲಾಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಲೈಫ್. ದೇವರು ಲೋಕದ ಮೇಲೆ ಎಷ್ಟೋ ಪ್ರೀತಿಯನ್ನಿಟ್ಟು ತನ್ನ ಒಬ್ಬನೇ ಮಗನನ್ನು ಕಳುಹಿಸಿದನು, ಆತನನ್ನು ನಂಬುವ ಯಾವನಾದರೂ ನಾಶವಾಗದೆ ನಿತ್ಯ ಜೀವವನ್ನು ಹೊಂದಬೇಕೆಂದು ಕಳುಹಿಸಿಕೊಟ್ಟನು. ರೋಮನ್ಸ್ 3:23 ಅಂಡ್ ರೋಮನ್ಸ್ 6:23, ದ ಬೈಬಲ್ ಸೇಸ್, ಫಾರ್ ಆಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸಿನ್ಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಕಮ್ ಶೋರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ವೇಜಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಿನ್ ಇಸ್ ಡೆತ್, ಬಟ್ ದ ಗಿಫ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಇಟರ್ನಲ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಜೀಸಸ್ ಕ್ರೈಸ್ಟ್ ಅವರ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಎಲ್ಲರೂ ಪಾಪ ಮಾಡಿ ದೇವರ ಮಹಿಮೆಯನ್ನು ಹೊಂದದೆ ಹೋಗಿದ್ದಾರೆ. ಆ ಪಾಪವು ಕೊಡುವಂತಹ ಸಂಬಳ ಮರಣ. ಆದರೆ ದೇವರ ಉಚಿತಾರ್ಥವಾದಂತಹ ವರವು ಇದು ನಿತ್ಯ ಜೀವವಾಗಿದೆ. ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ದ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹೂ ಸ್ಪೀಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ಲ್ಯಾಂಗ್ವೇಜ್ ಓವರ್ 55 million ಇನ್ ಒನ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೌದರ್ನ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಂಡಿಯಾ ದಟ್ ಅವರ್ ಮಿನಿಸ್ಟ್ರಿ is committed to reach out to. Church planting being the primary focus in obedience to the Great Commission. The Lord planted the pillar and ground of the Truth Baptist Church in 2005. This is our 12th year. And in these 12 years, the Lord has enabled us to plant 4 sister churches. All of these sister churches are pastored by graduates of our Bible College and Theological Seminary in 2 locations. The driving distance between these 2 locations is 180 miles. Our preaching and teaching is bilingual, English as well as in the Kannada language. A children's home ministry in 2 locations, orphans and destitute children, not just to feed them, clothe them, educate them and give them shelter, but most importantly, it is to reach them with the gospel of grace. Reach them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And through these years of ministry, many orphans and destitute children have repented for their sins and received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. Our burden, our prayer is that these children will be used as servants in this nation of India. Along with these ministries, we also have a very important ministry, and that is publication. And in the publication ministry, my burden has been to translate the Bible from the original languages into the Kannada language. During the course of my seminary education at Tabernacle Baptist Theological Seminary in Virginia Beach, Virginia, I was exposed to these translation issues. The Bible that the Kannada-speaking people use is a translation from the Bible Society of India, which is distributed all across Karnataka. As I sat in the classroom and the Word of God was being dispensed to my heart, with my Bible opened as well as the English King James Version, I noticed words that promote and propagate Hinduism. Words that have been interjected into these translations that simply teach Hinduism. Let me give you three examples. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Those two words, born again, has been translated as reincarnation in the Kannada Bible. One of the two lies of the Garden of Eden, where Satan, in the form of a serpent, told Eve, "Thou shalt not die," deathlessness. "Thou shalt be like God." That is deification. This is what my translation teaches in the Bible. The second example is the word baptism. Baptism is, according to Scripture, by immersion only. But the Sanskrit word that has been used for baptism is diksha snana. And diksha snana translates sprinkling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And baptism by sprinkling is unbiblical. The third example is the very name of Jesus Christ, where the deity of Christ is questioned by the term or word Swami. And I am sure that many of you are familiar with this word Swami, because the United States of America is being evangelized by Hindu evangelists. The largest Hindu temple is not in India, it is in America. Swami does not mean God. Swami means only teacher. Jesus Christ is not just another teacher. Amen. He is the Son of God in the flesh. Amen. With this project beginning in the year 2002, the Lord has strengthened, given wisdom, and also the ability to begin from the book of Matthew. And currently, I am in the book of Jude. And Lord willing, by the end of next year, completing the book of Revelation from the original Greek into the Kannada language, the people of Karnataka, the Kannada-speaking people, will have the first accurate, sound translation of God's holy word in their native tongue. Amen. What a tremendous responsibility. Yes, sir. A personal responsibility that the Lord has burdened my heart, my wife, Nirupama, and our two boys, Joshua and Joel. Joshua is 12 years old, and Joel is 8 years old. My wife and I, we are second generation national missionaries, preparing the third generation national missionaries to the nation of India. I was led to the Lord Jesus Christ on October 7th, 1980, as a 7-year-old boy. My father, himself being a Hindu convert, who was led to the Lord by Mrs. Paulson, an American missionary, who was in India during those years, my father's friends invited him to Sunday school. And that morning when he sat in that Sunday school hour, Mrs. Paulson presented the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ with all clarity. He was convicted of his sins. Unless a sinner sees his sinfulness, he will not need a Savior. For a sinner to see his sinfulness, he has to see the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. At the age of 16, he professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and now he serves as the pastor of Shalom Biblical Baptist Church, completing almost 38 years of ministry. Mrs. Paulson, originally from Florida, we just heard recently that she went home to be with the Lord at the age of 98. One woman with a vision on a mission. The investment that she made in one man. And you see the eternal dividends that the Lord has blessed our family and our ministry. You will see visuals of our ministry after the message tonight. It is an 11-minute video. It is very informative and also will give each one of you an elaborate understanding of the Lord's work that he is doing in a land of 333 million gods and goddesses that the Hindus worship. I thank you. I thank Brother Hammett and his family. I thank the Lord, most importantly, for bestowing upon me the blessed privilege of ministering to this body tonight. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will give each one of us a receptive heart and a receptive mind to receive with gladness the engrafted Word of God. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The book of Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through verse 8. I would like to take the next few minutes and expound from this passage of Scripture, which I understand to be a very familiar passage of Scripture to most of us, or perhaps to all of us. But the truths of God's Word are always eternal. Amen. There are truths that the Holy Spirit of God brings to our memory or refreshes us with new truths, even if it just be that one point that strikes every listener and makes this message worthwhile. Acts chapter 1, and reading from verses 1 through verse 8, the Bible says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, lover of God, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Verse 8, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Commissioned, commanded, and constructed. Amen. Three C's: commissioned, commanded, and constructed. Let's look to the Lord in prayer for just a minute. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, and be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. The testimony of Moses applies to our time of worship this evening. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and doing wonders? Father, I stand humbled as a sinner saved by grace, plus nothing and minus nothing, to minister the inspired, the infallible, the inextricable divine revelation given to all mankind. The Word of God, which has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any admixture of error for its matter. The voice of Jesus Christ to understand the mind of God, the living God. I pray that the preaching of God's word will continue to convict sinners of their sins and edify the saints in Jesus Christ. Anoint Thy servant afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. May nothing be said for vain glory, but to exalt Thy name, to edify Thy people, and to evoke worship and service in the lives of every believer. Glorify Thyself. I ask all of these things in the name that is above every name, in the precious and matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Paul's testimony in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. As he writes those inscripturated words in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The call to salvation is a call to worship and service. Worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and serving Him in and through our lives. The motivating factor is the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. I love Him because He first loved me. That motivation of love couched in the fear of God, not trivializing His person or His presence with a cheap imitation. The caliber of worship that the Lord Jesus Christ expects and demands from this sinner saved by grace and grace alone is exactly what the Scriptures teach. And Paul continues to edify, admonish these believers in New Testament churches. To do the will of God begins with salvation. Romans chapter 12, as you study that chapter in the context, then making the interpretation and the application begins with salvation. It requires dedication. It requires transformation. It requires separation. Be not conformed to this world. It requires Enoch to exercise his spiritual gifts in his local church. It requires me to live a godly, righteous Christian life. Amen. The call to salvation is also a call to worship and service. The Apostle Paul, as he writes here in chapter 1, and going through these 8 verses, it is imperative and needful for us to understand that God has commissioned us, He has commanded us, and He has constructed us to be His witnesses. Considering the context, Jesus Christ in His resurrected body is just about ready to ascend up into heaven and sit at the right hand of His Father. And as He speaks to these men, His assembly of blood-bought, immersed believers, He gives them the command, the commission, and the message that they are to take out to the lost and dying world. But there was a distraction that He was challenged with. The distraction is seen in verses 6 and verse 7 combined. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were first century date fixers, like Harold Camping in the year 2011, May 21st. Date fixing. The Lord Jesus Christ was not amused by their question. He was very careful not to entertain them or to encourage this foolish question. In fact, being as charitable as He could and loving as He could, He simply tells them, that is not something that you need to be worrying about. I want you to be faithful in My work, looking forward to My coming. Stop gazing and start going. Start looking up into the heavens, because I have given you a mandate. I have given you a marching order. And that mandate and marching order is found in verse 8. You shall, He says, be witnesses unto Me, beginning with Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 through 17, the Bible makes it very clear that we must redeem the time, for the days are evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, the Lord Jesus Christ tells me that I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. The Lord was telling them, keep the main thing as the main thing.
Amen.
Do not worry about My return. Do not worry about fixing dates. Do not be concerned whether or not I will be establishing My kingdom yet again. This is what I want you to do. And that commission and command, they were already constructed to doing. As the Lord continues to speak in these 8 verses, I see 4 important, relevant, pertinent truths that apply to Enoch and applies to every born-again believer. Notice here in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through verse 8, we must have the right message. The right message. In chapter 1, And verse 8, we're going to focus only on verse 8. But he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Having the right message unto me, he said. Not about the church. Not about a denomination. Right. Not about the preacher or pastor. Amen. For none of these things have saving power. It is only in the name that is above every name. In the precious and matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is this same God who spoke the world into existence. It is the same God who spoke through prophets of old in the Old Testament dispensation of time. It is the same God who came in the flesh in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It is the same God who was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God in John chapter 1 and verse 1. Jesus Christ is the narration of God. Jesus Christ as the Son of God is the expression of God. Jesus Christ is the exegesis of God. A word is a visible expression of an invisible thought. And this word is Christ Jesus. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is the same Jesus who turned the water into wine. And one author writes so eloquently and says, the water looked at its maker and blushed. It is the same Jesus who fed the multitudes with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It is the same Jesus who walked on the water and beckoned one of his disciples to walk with him. It is the same Jesus who stood before the tomb of Lazarus, a dead man, and spoke with authority, Lazarus, come forth. And a dead man came out alive. It is the same Jesus who said in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It is the same Jesus who said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, not a way. I am the truth, not a truth. I am the life, not a life. Jesus said, I am the way. No one wanted to follow him. He said, I am the truth. No one wanted to listen to him. He said, he is the life and life eternal. And we crucified him. It is the same Jesus about whom the prophet Isaiah looked down the periscope of time and prophesied his suffering, his pain, his agony as he went to the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ, who was sold for 30 pieces of silver and redeemed Enoch and redeemed the world. Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 12, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Amen. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. It is, was, is, and will always be in the name of the Son of God where souls can be saved. Amen. Plus nothing and minus nothing. We must have the right mindset also. The right message, as we have just looked at, we must also have the right methods. In verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, as we continue our study, reading verse 8 one more time. But he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and he shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The right message, one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread, with the right method. The key word that is used in verse 8 is the word witness. Witness, martus, in the Greek language. It is from this Greek root rendering that we get the word martyr. M-A-R-T-Y-R. Martyr. Referring to those who bear witness to the truth. Those who stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, having known him and experiencing his salvation in our respective lives, as one who is called in a court of law to stand and bear witness to what he has seen or what he has known before the judge. The Lord Jesus Christ desires this from this sinner saved by grace. He wants Enoch Kumar to be a witness to the truth. Do I know that Jesus loves me? Tell the world. Do I know that Jesus saves sinners? Tell the world. Do I know that Jesus can save and give eternal life to the world? Tell the world. Who am I supposed to tell? You tell the world. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, tell the world. Has God done anything for you? Tell the world. Has God done anything for you through Jesus Christ? Tell the world. He shall be witnesses. It is Jesus Christ who is Adam the last. Jesus Christ who is the advocate. Jesus Christ who is the Almighty, the Alpha. Jesus Christ who is the Amen, the angel of Jehovah, the anointed one, the author. Jesus Christ who is the beloved Son, who is the branch, who is the bread, who is the bridegroom. Jesus Christ who is the brightness of the Father's glory, the carpenter and captain of our salvation, the chief cornerstone, the chiefest among 10,000. He is the Christ. He is the counselor. He is the covenant. He is the deliverer. He is the desire of all nations. He is the door. He is the elect of God. He is the Emmanuel, the everlasting Father, the faithful witness, the faithful and true God, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the first and the last. He is the first begotten. He is the forerunner. He is the foundation. He is the gift of God. He is God. He is the head of the church. He is the high priest. He is the Holy One. He is the hope of glory. He is the horn of our salvation. He is the I Am, the image of the invisible God. He is Jesus. He is the judge. He is the just one. He is king. He is king of glory. He is the king of kings, the king over all the earth, the king of the Jews, the lamb of God. He is the leader. He is the light. He is the light everlasting, the light of the world, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the living stone, the Lord of glory, the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of our righteousness, the Lord and Savior. He is the man. He is the master, the mediator, the Messiah, the mighty God, the morning star, the Omega, the omnipotent God, the omniscient God, the omnipresent God. He is the great physician. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the prophet. He is the propitiation for our sins. He is the Redeemer. He is the resurrection. He is the rock. He is the root of David. He is the ruler. He is the sanctification, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. He is the Savior. He is the servant. He is the Son of God, Son of the Highest. He is the bright and morning star. He is the teacher. He is the true God. He is the true vine. He is the truth. He is wisdom. He is the way. He is the witness. He is wonderful. He is the Word of God. He is the Word of life. It is He who hath the keys of heaven and hell. It is He who was dead but is alive forevermore. And the trumpets will sound, the clouds will be rolled back as a scroll, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will descend. Amen. Stop gazing. And the Lord said, start going. You have a mission. You are commissioned. You are constructed to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must have the right message. We must have the right methods. We must also have the right mindset. In verse 8, the witness in a court of law is to testify to the judge and jury. The witness to Jesus Christ is to testify to the whole world. It is a big task. So Jesus breaks it down. And he breaks this down in verse 8 by using the words Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Jerusalem, their home place. Judea, the hardened place. Samaria, the hopeless place, and to the uttermost parts of the world, the hard to reach places. You shall be witnesses unto me. We must have the right mindset, and we must also have the right might, M-I-G-H-T, to be faithful to the Lord. Faith in God produces faithfulness, and faithfulness to God produces fruit. It is not the tree. It is not the leaves. It is not the appearance of the tree. It is fruit that matters.
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
You parallel Matthew chapter 13 and verse 30 with Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16, where the Lord said very eloquently, "Ye shall know them by their fruit." Not the leaves, not the tree, not the appearance, but by the fruit. Amen. Faithfulness to God produces fruit.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We must have the right might. In verse 8 again, if our message is to have any power, our methods are to be successful. And if our mindset is ever to be what it ought to be, then I need help. And that help is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Worship that is motivated by the love of God, reciprocating our love to Him, couched in the atmosphere of the fear of God, consequently results in an outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible makes this very clear in this passage as the Lord begins to speak in the first part of verse 8, "But ye shall be witnesses unto me." Preceding that, you shall receive power from the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. The might, the power, the help, and the helper is the third person of the Trinity. I was looking through Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49, just a few days ago in that upper room. And in that upper room, you see God's disciples intimidated by the Jews and living in fear for their lives. They are promised in that upper room that they will receive power of the Holy Spirit of God. When that power came upon them, it is these same disciples who were intimidated and lived in fear, had a powerful outworking of the third person of the Trinity in their lives. They went out and they preached the gospel. And in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 souls came to know Christ.
Amen.
As their personal
Amen.
Savior. Baptized by immersion, and immersion only, and added to the local New Testament church to be discipled. This is what God has for me, and God has for His children. It is not eloquence. It is not narration. It is not the delivery, it is being filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
And to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God demands a right relationship with God.
Amen.
And that right relationship with God is not religion without a relationship, but relationship defining religion. Religion is the best man can do, but Christianity of the Bible is the best God has done. Religion is man reaching up to God, but Christianity of the Bible is God looking down upon sinful mankind. And the greatest expression of his love was the cross. The greatest expression of love is not a diamond ring. It is the cross of Calvary. And as you look at the cross and the outstretched arms of the Son of God, with the crown of thorns upon his head, his hands and his feet nailed to the cross, and a spear pierced into his side, even in such excruciating pain, the love of God so unconditional, as he has a dialogue with his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is Jesus Christ is the message with the right method, with the right mindset, and with the right might. Going back to the first church in the first century, even when we live in those times and days where the walls of morality and virtue in society have been torn down and the gates of decency are set aflame, the local New Testament church is nothing but a shell of its former self. The gates of glory that once identified the church of God to be the house of God has been tarnished by the flames of sin and the blight of apathy. The commission, the command to those who have been constructed to be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. The first century church was a pure church. It was a praying church. It was a clean church. It was a church that was unified in purpose and plan. It was a church that submitted wholeheartedly to the will of God. And this is what God expects from the pillar and ground of the truth, Baptist Church. There are hundreds and thousands of people, millions of people heading towards a Christless eternity, many going to hell with heaven on their mind. Just like Judas Iscariot. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 through 50, he kissed the very gates of heaven, but went straight to hell. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, Governor Felix, who wanted to look at a much more convenient time, and chose eternal damnation. Consider the life of Herod Agrippa and Festus. When the gospel was being shared to him, he called the ravings of a madman. Many going to hell with heaven on their mind. I have a responsibility, and so do every born-again believer in Jesus Christ to be a witness for him. Amen. Commanded, commissioned, and constructed to be his witness. Amen. Please close your eyes and bow your heads. The final few thoughts, after which Brother Hammett will come, and we will have the video presentation. How important is it for Enoch to be a witness to his Savior? What is Enoch willing to change in his life so that he can be more effective as a witness. What is Enoch willing to do so that the power of God may rest upon him? What price am I willing to pay for the touch of God upon my life? Ye shall be witnesses. I'd rather not spin the wheels and get nowhere, but allow Jesus Christ, who is in me, my beloved, who is mine, and I am his, as Solomon said in Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 16, my beloved is mine, and I am his. I am his by him created. I am his by him redeemed. I am twice his by original right and by purchase when I was lost. I am his by the ransom of the blood, his by the conquest of his spirit. His by my own free consent, his in body, in soul, in estate, his entirely, his exclusively, his irrevocably. I am his and he will defend me. His and he will love me. His and he will delight in me. His and he will make use of me and correct me. His and he will claim me against all rivals and opponents. I am not my own, not the church's, not the world's, not man's. Not the law's, not Satan's, but his, Christ's, my beloved. All things, O believer, are thine in Christ. Yet thou art no one's but his. All things pertain to thee, but thou pertainest to none but Jesus. Thou art the property of no man, the property of no creature, the property of no uncreated. I am my beloved's, and none else possesses either power, right over me. And if I am my beloved's, and he is mine, then all that is mine, his is. All my sin, my misery, my weakness, and my condemnation, and all that is mine. All his strength, his wisdom, his righteousness, and his holiness. Tremble, O trembling soul. If thou lovest him, thou hast him. If thy heart cleavest to him as thy choice and delight, he is also thy possession. If he is beloved by thee, he is thine and thy beloved. I am his, and he is mine.